Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my Christmas friend, Stephen Garchar.
Just Christmas. Good evening, Phil.
No, he's always my friend. Well,
that would be nice.
Yeah. That's right. Santa's coming. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, Merry Christmas, everyone.
I hope you're all having an awesome weekend with your family and friends and celebrating the birth of the Lord. And I hope you've spent the last few weeks fighting the battle against happy holidays. I've been more aggressive about it this year. But anyway, so we're here now, and it's Christmas Eve, and interestingly enough, we're going to talk about Jesus being born.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, you know, I like to kind of keep things with the time of the season.
The season, yeah. It makes more sense.
Yeah, so here we are, and last week we did an Advent show, went through the prophecies of Isaiah, pointing to the Messiah, and in the Gospel of Luke, Messiah is actually going to be born. Now, you know, Luke is the only gospel that talks about his birth and the sort of infancy narratives, and as they're called. And, you know, the other three gospels don't talk about Jesus's birth. And Luke starts, you know, and before we get into Jesus being born, we're just going to spend just a little bit of time talking about John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the prophecies at the very end of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, that's not Malachi, it's Malachi.
It's not. Oh, my gosh, I've been saying it wrong all these years. No.
Yes, our friend Paul Wilbur says he was the first of the Italian prophets. Anyway, you know, our friend Luke actually starts out talking about John the Baptist, even before John the Baptist is born, because in the book of Malachi, at the very end of the Old Testament, it's the very end of the Old Testament, Malachi writes that, you know, Elijah's going to come before the Messiah. Now, Elijah, at the time of Malachi, Elijah had already been, you know, like 300 years before that, more or less. And, you know, what is he talking about? Well, what he's talking about is an Elijah-like character, who is John the Baptist. And, you know, when he went out to eat, you didn't even have to hand him a menu because he just ordered the locusts and honey without even looking at the menu. So
it's a staple.
Yeah. All the places he went to eat, they already knew what he wanted. And I know he's getting tired of that joke. But anyway, you know, his parents, of course, are Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth is related to Mary.
Yes.
In some way. Called a kinswoman, some translations say a cousin, but somehow they're related, and they seem to know each other pretty well. And Zacharias is a priest, and he is, and you know, there's many orders of priests, and he's in this order of Abijah, and they periodically got to do service in the temple. Most people think it was for 1 week out of each year. So when this narrative starts out, Zacharias has the honor of lighting the incense in the temple. And he's not, you know, he's not the high priest. He's not going to go put the incense in the Holy of Holies or anything. He's kind of out in a smaller area.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, he's kind of a low level priest. He's not like, he gets to wear some cool stuff, but he's not the high priest.
The high priest.
Yeah, not the high priest. And, you know, he may have done this maybe once in his lifetime. You know, there were hundreds and hundreds of Levitical priests. There weren't like, you know, six of them. There were a lot of them.
Yeah.
So this was a huge honor for him to do this incense thing. And we're told that it's the, you know, King Herod is there. And we know this, of course. King Herod is all over the narratives about the birth of Jesus and when the Magi come and so forth. And he was kind of a, you know, puppet king that the Romans put in place. He, you know, he expanded the temple. He built what we call the Western Wall, mm-hmm. which was just a retaining wall at the Temple Mount. But he did do some good things for them, but he was basically a Roman puppet that was in control of the area that the Romans called Judea, which was the land of Judah. And interestingly, in, you know, we always like to talk about prophecies, but back in the book of Genesis, chapter 49:10, there's this weird prophecy that Jacob makes when he's praying over his sons and grandchildren. And it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an odd thing. You know, Shiloh, he's referring to Messiah. Shiloh was a place, but, you know, interestingly now, the Romans had put a puppet king in power who mm-hmm. was not from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
So the line of David was interrupted. And interestingly, this even becomes a prophecy that's fulfilled because the scepter departs from Judah and then Messiah comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, Israel was enslaved by the Romans with their own puppet king. Yeah. And in the middle of this, you know, the glory is born.
Yeah.
The glory of God is born. And, you know the story, the angel Gabriel, you know, Gabriel has kind of a busy year here. We don't know what he was doing for the rest of eternity, but he was pretty busy here. So, you know, he comes down and he talks to Zacharias about the fact that he's going to have a baby boy.
Right.
And Zacharias, like, old. And his wife is old, you know, goes out of the way to talk about how his wife Elizabeth was considered barren. You know, and this, he's going to have a boy that's going to be filled with the Spirit from the womb.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I love that description. So as soon as this baby's born, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, you know, he's going to be what this other, maybe we should read that.
You want to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You want to start at verse 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once, when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God. According to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of fathers toward children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stands before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time."
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. The lesson there is don't talk back to Gabriel.
Whatever he says, just say,
okay.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, this is pretty awesome. So, you know, this business about how he's not going to drink, you know, strong drink, or whatever it says, you know, he's going to be a Nazarite. If you go back to Numbers chapter 6, there's this mm-hmm. group of men that are Nazarites. They never drink anything or eat anything that comes from a grape,
mm-hmm.
and they never shave their hair or their beard. And this is kind of like they're set apart to kind of pray and you know, they're kind of like monks, mm-hmm. except that they wander around in the desert and pray and eat grasshoppers. And, you know, but John the Baptist actually is the last of these guys. He's the last of the Nazarites.
Right.
He's basically the last of the prophets. He's the transition point from Old Testament to New Testament. Mm-hmm. He could really be in either one.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the way this, he becomes like Elijah. He's going to lead people to God. He's going to say, you got to make straight his path. You got to get ready because he's coming. You got to repent. You got to turn back. Just like Elijah did in Israel mm-hmm. during his time.
Yeah.
And he's going to be bold. He's going to be zealous to tell people that they're sinners.
Yeah.
You know, when the Pharisees showed up, he says, you brood of vipers.
Yeah.
So they said, wow, this guy's awesome. No, yeah. They didn't.
who warned you of the coming yeah. destruction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, when you called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, they didn't like that.
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah. Wasn't good. But anyway, he was bold, and he was ready to reprove, you know? And mm-hmm. and it's kind of cool because he starts to preach the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he only preaches to the Jews. John the Baptist doesn't preach to any Gentiles. He only preaches to the Jews. And, you know, in fact, Mark starts his gospel with John the Baptist preaching. And mm-hmm. It's kind of neat there in that passage you just read. It talks about also it goes back to the things that are in Malachi right at the very end of the Old Testament.
Right.
About curses and about the father turning to the children and the children turning to the father. And it says, this is what your son is going to do, Gabriel's telling Zacharias.
Yeah.
And your prayer's been heard because you and Elizabeth, you know, you're nice people and, you know, you're doing the best you can and you're a priest and you're trying to follow the law and it says you're blameless. It didn't say you're sinless. It says you're yeah. blameless mm-hmm. and you're walking with the Lord and so forth. So your prayer's heard and you're going to have the son who's going to do all this cool stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah.
Yeah.
That there will be one that comes before him to prepare the way to
yes.
make the mountains low and the valleys raised up
exactly.
to prepare a you know, that path that's smooth and level for the Lord to come. And in verse 16 and 17, and the spirit, even from his mother's womb, I'm sorry, and they will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and like you were saying, you think about the prophet Elijah,
yeah,
and how God worked through him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we sing that one song that, Days of Elijah.
Yeah,
you know, it's about the coming of the yeah. Lord
and Lord God of Abraham
and Lord God of Abraham, and it's. You know, it's, as you said, it's the bridge between what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's,
yeah.
it's the fulfillment of God. It's be, you know, God's plan of salvation is being fulfilled yeah. here in their time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the coming of the Messiah.
Yeah. And it's kind of neat because he's Elijah-like mm-hmm. the way he dresses. If you read the description of how he's dressed in the other gospels, it's just like Elijah dressed.
Yeah.
And Elijah ate some bread and stuff once in a while.
Yeah.
He only ate grasshoppers. Anyway, yeah. I can't get over that part. So listen, if you ever invite him to your men's group.
Haven't you ever heard of the Grasshopper Grill?
If you ever invite John the Baptist to your men's group.
better have some honey and grasshoppers.
You better have it ready. But, you know, he's so Elijah-like because he dresses like Elijah. He talks like Elijah and he confronts people with their sin. And, you know, we've talked many times here from 1 Kings 18, when Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal, and the song Lord God of Abraham is about that encounter. Yep. And as Steve mentioned, you know, the prophecies from Malachi and Elijah are here. And, you know, John the Baptist starts to preach the kingdom. It's a baptism of repentance
mm-hmm.
where he cleans you with water.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people came and confessed their sins and he baptized them, you know, and the Jews had a thing where if you were a Gentile and you wanted to come into Judaism, you know, one of the things you did was you took this cleansing bath, which corresponds to baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So when he told the Pharisees, they're the ones that need to be baptized. Whoa, they got that was even worse than calling them a brood of vipers. Oh,
yeah.
Because they were like the head guys.
Yeah.
And he's telling them they need to be cleaned.
Yeah.
So he preached that kingdom, but he also preached that the Messiah, that Jesus, who was coming, was preeminent in everything.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about him.
Right.
He was there. I mean, he was a weird-looking dude with a weird diet, mm-hmm. but it wasn't about him.
Yeah.
He could preach. He could tell people. He could convict people of their sins. He could, you know, he would have had a great TV show had they had TV. but the main thing was he pointed to Messiah, who was literally right in front of him a little bit later on. We're getting ahead of because we haven't gotten to him being born yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, he preaches how Christ is the preeminent thing and how he's just baptizing with water.
Right.
But when he comes, he's going to baptize you
with
fire and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he is the messenger. He is exactly like Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, crosses over between the two testaments, the two covenants.
Yeah.
In a very powerful way.
Yeah.
Because he has aspects of both.
Yeah. Yeah, and later on he's going to say, you know, he must increase, referring to Jesus, and I must decrease, referring to himself, John the Baptist, that he's made the way for the Lord. Now it's time for him to, like, get out of the way and let the Lord let God do what he's going to do. And it's interesting, as after we read that passage from Luke, you know, he was in the sanctuary there to burn incense, and the people are all waiting for him. For him to come out.
Yeah.
Like, well, Zachariah's been in there a pretty long time. What's going on in there? And he comes out and he can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know that something's happened to him. And he's gesturing them. He's gesturing to them and stuff. And he's trying to communicate with them. And, you know, he couldn't. And he remained mute. And after that, Elizabeth conceives.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. We gave Paul the week off.
Yes.
And invited Celine Dion to come and sing.
Yes. Paul Ober taking a Christmas break, probably having Christmas dinner with his family while we're up here freezing.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's listen to this awesome Christmas song, and Steve and I will be back in just a minute on the Gift of Grace.
Please stay tuned. The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar will be right back.
The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone, and again, Merry Christmas from Stephen and I and from Gift of Grace Ministries. And
yes.
We are here celebrating the Lord's birth, and we've been going through some information on John the Baptist before we get to the birth of Jesus. And Steve read the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, and, you know, we talked about him and his wife Elizabeth. And before we do Gabriel talking to Mary and the birth narratives and so forth, why don't you talk a little bit about what happened with Zechariah?
Yeah, you know, in after the announcement, after the temple where Zechariah received the word from Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, you know, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed with a man named Joseph. And it's, you know, we're going to talk about how the angel gives this message to Mary. And the angel tells Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month. And I'll read this from 28. And coming to her, he said, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no relations with the man? And the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called the Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has already conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Mm-hmm. Then Mary goes out and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And then what Gabriel spoke to Zechariah is fulfilled. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mm-hmm. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mm. For at the moment of the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know, and there's such an awesome exchange there because
yes.
You see that John is in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and John's in the womb and he's filled with the Holy Spirit too.
Oh yeah. As long as Jesus is there. And Mary's filled with the Spirit and talks, and Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit and talks, and John, he's like charismatic at this point. He's jumping around in a room with his hands up.
And Zechariah still can't speak a word.
I can't say anything. But we assume he had his hands up and he was praying. But, this is amazing because, first of all, if we just rewind a second back to Gabriel, you know, we mentioned last time kind of half jokingly how Mary gets treated quite a bit differently than Zechariah did because Zechariah has like some doubt and Gabriel says, okay, in that case, you're not going to talk anymore. And he's struck dumb. Mary says, well, how's this going to be? Although I think she probably said it in a more humble way because, you know, Mary's humility is so apparent in this whole passage that you just read. I mean, it's really cool because, you know, when the angel comes, he says like some amazing things to her, of course. And, you know, in the Greek translation is highly favored, you know, in Latin it was translated as full of grace, basically meaning the same thing. I mean, this was a very special woman who had been chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah.
Yeah.
And it was going back to Isaiah chapter 7, it was going to be the virgin who was going to conceive and bear a son.
Right.
The son was going to be Emmanuel. But now the angel says you're going to name him Yeshua because he's going to save his people. And, you know, he says you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. Now, remember, Mary's in the house of David. You know, they're keeping, God's keeping the whole line intact because Yeshua is going to sit on the throne of David. Mary asks a simple question. Well, how is this going to be?
Yeah.
You know, she, although she was from the house of David, she wasn't living in a palace and was a well-known person and very rich. She was a very humble young girl who was living in Nazareth of all places.
Yeah.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, in some probably little house. And I don't know what her parents did, but I mean, she lived in pretty humble circumstances.
Yeah.
And she humbly submits to this and says, well, you know, the only question I have is, how's this going to be? Because I don't know a man. So when he tells her that the Holy Spirit's going to come on her, it's going to be, you know, the Holy One, the Son of God, essentially, which Mary's original title is the Theotokos, the God bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Western Church, it became, she became known as the Mother of God.
Right.
Basically meaning the same thing, because she had the divinity within her.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives birth to the God man in a physical way.
Yeah.
Not in a unusual way or not in some special way.
Right.
It's labor, contractions, more contractions, pain, yelling, baby coming out, crying, bloody mess, cut the cord. I mean, this is, she's born of a woman, born under the law, born just like everybody else.
Yep.
And she submits to all this and tells the angel, well, okay, I'll do it. Just do it according to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect model of Hineni. You know, we talk many times, you know, we don't talk really in most churches. We don't really talk enough about Mary as a model of the Christian, the model of a servant who's humble and submits and says, well, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then later is going to say, well, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot there that could be said for, the model of responding to God with our yes.
Yes.
And that's really one of the most important things that we look at, is that how Mary responded in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abraham responded in faith.
Oh, yeah.
It was credited to him as righteousness.
Yes.
And Mary responds in faith because she's hearing God's word. And it's, you know, what always strikes me is that Gabriel is the messenger. This isn't Gabriel's message.
Right.
It's God's message. It's, you know, the creator of the universe is giving him a message to deliver to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, he got two missions in the same year.
Yeah. And so if we look at what happens when John is born, John the Baptist is born, you know, Elizabeth gives birth to her son, and then everybody's like, okay, what are we going to name him? What are we going to name him?
Right.
And they weren't going to name him the name of any of their relatives. And they said, well, let's ask the father. And he asked for a tablet to write on. Zechariah did. And he says, John in his name. And they were all amazed. And at that moment, his mouth is open, his tongue is freed, and he speaks praising and blessing God. And I want to read the what's called the Canticle of Zechariah here, because if any of you are familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours or Christian prayer, this canticle is prayed every morning.
Mm-hmm.
If you are familiar with that. And it says, then Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He has raised up for us a horn of salvation within the house of David, his servant, even as he promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to be mindful of his holy covenant and of the oath he swore to Abraham, our father, and to grant us that, rescued from the hand of enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and shadows death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Wow.
You know, it's just such an awesome canticle that Zechariah, he recounts everything in this that was prophesied and fulfilled.
Yes.
God's brought us salvation, and the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And those who, and we talked about this last week, those who dwell in the shadow of death and the valley of darkness mm-hmm. are going to see this great light.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, and our feet, and he's going to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Yeah. That's yeah. awesome.
It's awesome.
And this is, you know, this is one of these songs, you know, there's quite a few of them in the scriptures,
yes.
but it's the Holy Spirit falls on him and he says this. I mean, he doesn't just make this up.
Yeah.
You know, this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And, we really can't add much to that.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And
it's the first thing he says as yeah. soon as his mouth was opened.
And it's really cool too about how, and we're going to get back to the Song of Mary, the Magnificat in a second, but I think it's really cool where it says that he says that God's going to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. You know, he goes, this is the promise that's mm-hmm. been coming actually since Adam. But
yeah.
since Abraham, you have been getting everything ready for this moment
yeah.
that's now about to come.
Right.
I mean, this is the first part. Messiah is actually going to be born, you know, a few months later. But this is the culmination of all the things we've been waiting for since our father Abraham. And he says, you know, he says to God, you're doing all this because you remember your promises.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible how
yeah.
all this unfolds.
Yeah. And, you know, Mary's not there at this point. I think she's gone home. But, it was pretty cool. Like we mentioned too, when she goes to visit Elizabeth and,
right.
you know, Zechariah can't talk and, you know, there's this amazing display of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit, says, wow, you know, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come? And John the Baptist, you know, is filled with the Spirit, and he's leaping around in the womb. And, you know, then Mary's filled with the Holy Spirit. And since you read the Canticle of Zechariah, why don't you also read the Magnificat, which, you know, you can call the Magnificat, or in some churches it's called the Song of Mary. But mm-hmm. either way, this is another beautiful praise song that comes out of somebody under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, remember, Mary has the developing baby Jesus inside of her while this is going on.
Right.
So, Steve, why don't you read that?
In Luke 1, chapter 46, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever.
Wow.
There again is a reference to Abraham.
Exactly.
All the promises.
Amen. There, here we go. You know, the scriptures, of course, are all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. She does this beautiful song, this beautiful canticle. You know, the word Magnificat comes from the first line. But it also, she goes back to saying, wow, you made promises to our father Abraham. And
yeah.
now here it is.
Yeah.
Here's Elizabeth about to give birth to this child who's going to be filled with the Spirit. From the womb is going to be the messenger, is going to be Elijah. And I have this child within me who Joseph didn't conceive, the Holy Spirit conceived.
Yeah.
The plan of salvation is unfolding here right while we're having this little family reunion with me and my cousin.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just really, I mean, talk about coming and pitching your tent with us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a family gathering and all this is going on to just impact the whole history of salvation is being condensed right into this period of time
yeah.
of the next, you know, 33 years from this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's really yeah. quite amazing.
It is, you know, it is. And it's, you know, it's so important to remember, we say that Jesus is our Messiah. He's our salvation. He's Lord. And it's important to remember his birth, you know, and to celebrate that the light of the world, he is the light of the world, and he came into the world to bring light and amen. To disperse the darkness.
Yeah, amen.
And it's important to recall that. And, you know, as we go on in the scripture and chapter 2 of Luke recounts the birth of Jesus, of
it's
Yeshua.
Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. So here we are. We're finally here.
And in, you know, we've talked many times about how the scripture talks about in due time or at the appointed time. Well, here's the appointed time. So now we have everything in place. We have a time of peace because the Roman Empire is controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the what's called the Pax Romana. No, nobody can make war against Rome at this point. So the whole world is at peace. So the whole area of Israel is at peace. And God even uses the civil authority, the Emperor Augustus, who says, well, you know, we're going to count everybody so that the IRS knows where everybody is, because this was a tax thing.
Yes.
And, you know, puts out this decree that everybody has to go back to the town of their ancestry.
To be counted.
Which is so weird. Like, Joseph's living in Nazareth. Like, they couldn't have had a government office in Nazareth where he could have gone.
Yeah.
No. He had to go to Bethlehem, which is the city of David, because the prophet Micah says that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And out of Bethlehem is going to come a ruler to shepherd my people Israel.
Amen.
It's every prophecy has to be fulfilled, right down to using the Emperor Augustus to bring it along.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, here's another Christmas carol.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I'm getting too excited. We're going to listen to this, and we'll be back in a minute on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And again, Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries, Steve and I. And we're happy to be here with you on this Christmas night, Christmas Eve night.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. We finally got to the birth of Jesus, the birth of Messiah.
Praise God.
Yeah. And, you know, Caesar Augustus gets them to Bethlehem so that the prophet Micah can be fulfilled. Pretty amazing. And in the most humble circumstances imaginable, the Messiah is born. The God-man's born, not in the temple. You know, you expect the Messiah to be born at the temple. But no, you know, he's not born in the temple. He's not born in a palace. He's not with the king. He's in a poor place with animals, smells bad, poor people. We have to imagine the sight. You know, we live in very clean places that don't smell bad.
Yeah.
This was a bad, smelly place with animals, old hay, little town. Was the city of David, but it was a little town, outskirts of Jerusalem.
No comforters.
No comforters, no down blankets.
No.
And
no puffy pillows.
No puffy pillows. And this is where Messiah chooses to be born. And interestingly, he's born in a natural way, as we said before. Mm-hmm. Mary has contractions and pain and goes into labor and delivers the baby and wraps him in swaddling clothes. You know, in the glory of heaven, God is clothed in light and all the kind of unimaginable things. If you read the book of Revelation, all these, you know, all these jewels and precious stones are mentioned that, you know, as you look at the throne, all these different facets of color come.
Yeah.
But now he's wrapped in these rags, basically.
Yeah.
A rag for a diaper. Because remember, he's a human.
Yeah.
So he needs a diaper. He's not toilet trained yet.
Yeah.
And has all these poor cloths wrapped. And in this manger where, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us what Mary and Joseph are talking about, but this must have been something.
Yeah.
And the animals are there. Now, some people are going to come. And Steve, why don't you read there from Luke chapter 2.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit about the people that first come.
Okay. So all went to be enrolled, each in his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those of on whom his favor rests." Yeah.
That's awesome. So look what's involved. First of all, there's this glory of angels shining. Yeah. There's light shining all around. I mean, that's not usually what happens when a baby's born. Now, you know, the city of David, there'd probably been, you know, lots of babies born there over the course of time. This is the first time that this happened.
Yeah.
Light.
The choirs of angels are singing glory to God in the highest.
Yeah. And if you've ever been to Bethlehem, you know, the shepherd's fields are right outside of the town where the manger was thought to have been. It's probably, maybe a half a mile to three quarters of a mile from where the shepherd's fields start. So the shepherds were there taking care of the sheep. You know, shepherds were not first class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They were thought to be unreliable. They were kind of shifty. They weren't allowed to testify in court.
Mm-hmm.
They were humble, like low level of society.
Yeah.
I mean, your average Pharisee wouldn't have spent much time talking to a shepherd.
Yeah.
Like we have shepherds in our mind because of this account, like, the shepherds were there.
Yeah.
But no, they weren't like that. It wasn't like that. But they were the first to get the news.
And
low people.
And it's amazing that God chooses to tell the shepherds about that. And that's what I'm thinking about as you're talking about this.
Yeah.
God chooses the lowly.
Yes.
For the announcement of the birth of his son.
It kind of goes back to what Mary said in her Magnificat. Mm-hmm. You know, you choose the lowly. You don't choose the proud and the intelligent people.
Right.
You choose the lowly. They're the first to get the news. The glory appears to these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, the heavens open. Yeah. And the heavens open. They see this glory. They go, oh, you know, look, the Savior's born in David's city. And interestingly, you know, he's born in Bethlehem, which the word Bethlehem means house of bread. It's the city of David. You know, in Hebrew, it's Bethlehem. It's a city of bread. So Jesus, who is bread, and everything about, a lot of things about him are bread related. Mm-hmm. He's born in a place called the House of Bread.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the shepherds say, hey, we should go over and check this out.
Yeah.
This is pretty wild. We've been out here all these years. We've never seen anything like this. And so these lowly people go there and they see the baby who, remember, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Yeah.
The glory of God is here mm-hmm. in this mess that Moses wasn't allowed to see. That no one had ever seen like this.
Right.
Later on, Jesus is going to say, all those prophets, all those guys, they wanted to see what you see and hear what you hear. And the shepherds were the first ones after Mary and Joseph to see this.
Yeah.
And they see it there in the manger in this unbelievable circumstance. And they're just there visiting with him. I think this is really cool.
Yeah.
They don't like say much. They're just there like taking it all in.
Yeah.
And Mary's just trying to think of what is all this, what does all this mean? What is all this that's going on? And, quite an amazing account.
It really is, because in Luke chapter 2, like at 16, so they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. Mm. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them.
Yeah.
You know, so they receive this message, then they see it there. They find Mary and Joseph, and they find the infant Jesus lying in the manger, wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And then they tell Mary and Joseph what they experienced out in the fields.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's right.
Hey, there was this whole chorus of angels that were singing glory to God in the highest about this child.
Yeah. And light in the sky. I mean, Mary and Joseph were like preoccupied doing this delivery.
Yeah. They were.
I didn't even realize all this was going on.
It's just, you know, it's incredible. And as you said, the message is made known. It's revealed to the shepherds, and then they go and check things out, and they find things just as they were told. Mm. You know,
after all those centuries of prophecy, and this is and this is where we are. You know, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember the Jewish day starts at sundown. This was obviously at night. It says it's at night,
right?
So, you know, it would be tomorrow for us. We call it Christmas Eve, but this, you know, in Yeshua, Jesus' terms, this is all like with the same day.
Right.
So all the prophecy comes to this point of Messiah coming into the world. And all the things we just talked about with Mary and with Elizabeth and with John the Baptist, everything comes to this point now in a place where nobody would imagine it except the people that had read the prophet Micah that said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Because later Herod says, where's the Messiah going to be born? And the guy gets out the scroll, says, Bethlehem. Because the prophet said that.
Yeah.
Well, here it was in the middle of this place that nobody would have ever expected.
Yeah. Had their eyes been open to the, and ears been open to the word, to the prophet. Yeah. You know, and we come to a place of, we've reflected on the coming of Messiah for the last couple of weeks. And now we're at that place of, okay, Jesus is born. And this is what it's all about, is about making room for him in your heart.
Yes.
And that's why Advent has been such an important time of preparation, that we reflect upon the word of God, reflect upon the coming of Jesus. And at his birth, at his coming, we have that room made in our heart. We clean out the stuff that you know, we clean out all the baggage and all the stuff that doesn't need to be there. And he has this place where he can dwell with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we should be doing for the second coming, for Jesus' return, that we are prepared. We are about doing the will of God the Father. We are about building the kingdom. We're bringing in a harvest of souls. We're proclaiming the message of salvation, and we are just doing God's will and being like that steward that had five talents.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord comes back and sees that his investment has been doubled.
Yeah.
And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah, well put. That's awesome. Well, once again, Merry Christmas to everyone. And have an awesome day, awesome Christmas day with your family. And Steve and I will be back next week with another edition of The Gift of Grace.
And may the peace of the Christ child reign in your hearts and in your minds. And have a Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless from the Gift of Grace Ministries. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless.